Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Rolling along here on the morning shift. Opening day for the Braves starts in San Diego against the Padres tomorrow. And Atlanta Braves skipper Brian Snitker, he joined the steakhouse yesterday with Steak and Sandra, and he discussed the team's plans to keep the pitching staff healthy.
Well, I think we did a really good job of that last year. And, nothing we did was the result of, Chris not being able to pitch. That was just a freak thing. I think we do a really good job of giving guys extra days. And I think that is important. You got Chris at his age, and he got through so good. And last year, this is Spencer's first big league camp. As well as he did last year, I didn't even know what he looked like till he showed up in Atlanta. And, it's going to be different. It's going to be new territory for him too, navigating, this season. But we'll do everything we can to try and protect those guys and within reason. I mean, we still got to go out and win ball games but I think organizationally we do a really good job of taking care of these guys.
Well, they did last year. I'm telling you I don't know whose idea it was. If it was Alex, if it was, Sinker, if it was our hitting coach, that names slipped my mind, or maybe even Eddie Perez out in the bullpen. But the 6-man rotation thing was absolutely a brilliant idea last year. It worked. It will be again. I keep coming back to it. I think if you can get AJ Smith-Shawver to. I don't need him to be Schwellenbach or Strider from years past. I need kind of just go out and give me, 5 to 6 innings every 6th game or 5th game to start and 6th game eventually with giving up 3 runs. That would be enough. Yeah. I just need some – I hate the term, but just eat up a few innings to get me to my bullpen where we're not doing bullpen games, and I need the same from Grant Holmes because it's going to be pivotal with a young arm like Schwellenbach, who pitched more innings and way more innings than he ever had in his career, and he's going to do it again this year. Strider coming off the brace surgery, with the UCL stuff, and then Sell, who is an older pitcher who has broke down a lot in the last 4 or 5 years, other than last year. It's extremely pivotal.
And not even his arm. When you talk about Chris Sale. It's just funny because it really, in the moment, I think means a lot, to get an extra day here and there. I think that all those guys would say they probably feel more refreshed when they're on, 5 days rest or whatever it is by the time they hit the hill the next time. But, and this is y'all follow me here. This is what I always think of when we have this conversation about six starters. You guys ever heard the theory that you should pay your mortgage every 2 weeks instead of paying it once a month, because in the end you end up getting a couple more payments in per year? Like, if you get paid every 2 weeks, that you should pay your mortgage every 2 weeks, or half of your mortgage every 2 weeks, because in the end you get more money, like at the end of the month, toward the principal, right? That's just how I feel about this. We're going to get to the end of the season with the Braves rotation, and you're going to have starters that are, you know, 26, 27, 28 starts, as opposed to there's other teams out there that'll get all the way up to 35 with some of their young guns and some of the pieces that they're kind of leaning on. So I'll be curious, and you bring up names like A.J. Smith-Shaw or Grant Holmes. I'll be curious to see where their numbers are at in terms of innings pitched. And Spencer Schwellenbach, and he just mentioned it, he's going to be in that boat too. We expect a lot out of all these guys. But Schwellenbach, like he said, you didn't even know what he looked like until this time last year, right, when he shows up in Atlanta or whenever that was, whatever, you know, point along the way that was. So it is crazy to think about. And you've got A.J. Smith-Shawver, who is still very, very young and hasn't thrown that amount of innings. Grant Holmes, not young, I believe 29 years old, but he's a guy that, you know, hasn't thrown that many innings before. So how long can you keep all of these kind of arms that aren't used to this going? And I think it just starts with starting in April, right? Like he just talked about, like you've talked about, Bo, to your credit, of just, hey, let's give a guy an extra day here, give a guy an extra day here when we can, and hopefully by the end of the season we're still rocking with guys that are doing their best.
Yeah, health being the primary topic, it seemed like, on the steakhouse, because Ronald Acuña Jr., everyone wants to know, when can we expect him back after dealing with his second ACL surgery? Well, here's Snit on the timeline.
We're not going to put timelines on things, because when you do that, then you got to, you know, it's like, well, then why didn't he meet this timeline? And he's doing good. I mean, he's getting a lot of game at bats. It's just the running, the cutting, the starting, the stopping. Are things that he's still training to be able to do. So when he's able to do that, then we're going to plug him in. And hopefully when, you know, by the time he gets here, he's ready to go full bore. So, it's just one of those things that they're going to do things right. We're going to, you know, this is the second time. I think Ronald's had a great attitude all spring. He's been unbelievable. And he's working very hard and diligent. And you know what, we're going to love it when we get him. And, you know, hopefully it's sooner than later.
Now, I don't know what they did the first go around, but to not have a timeline or not put a timeline out there publicly, I think is an excellent move by the staff.
Yeah, and everybody kind of takes their guesses as to what it is and, you know, where he's at. And, we can all say mid-April, early May, whatever it may be. I got to tell you guys, though, I cringe a little bit when he said, just when he says starting and stopping, like my knees started aching.
That's,
you know what I mean? Because, and I don't think Ronald Acuña, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see Ronald Acuña at this point in his career, and maybe after the second knee injury, maybe I'm wrong, but he doesn't seem to me like a guy that you can, you know, put a harness on and tell him to slow down. I don't think you can tell a guy like that to kind of whoa up a little bit. He plays the game at such an exciting level, and that's where he gets, you know, that's where he gets everything from, is his excitement for the game. You've heard him talk about it before, man. He's excited to go play. Plays with a flair. He's running all over the place. He's diving head first. His helmet's coming off as he rounds second, you know? And so I don't think he's the kind of guy that once he gets in the lineup that you can say, hey, man, be careful cutting, or maybe you shouldn't steal, or hey, don't, you know, you don't have to go crazy hard on that gapper. Like, that just is... It doesn't sound right when I envision Ronald Acuña doing that.
I don't think that will be the case when he returns. When he returns, you can probably expect him to be fully, you know, cleared. So there probably won't be any limitations on him. If anything, it would be probably the mental hurdle that maybe he has to get over, if he even still has to encounter that after having to deal with this second time around. But at least what he's knocked them both out now, not trying to make light of it, but you tear one, you're more likely to tear the other. It's out of the way, so maybe it's more freeing now.
Well, and the first time he came back from it, he didn't come back till late April, but I think people forget that he didn't tear it until late July.
Yeah.
It was actually I think right at the All-Star break, maybe the game before the All-Star break, or two games before the All-Star break, somewhere in there, or maybe it was right after one. It was in that realm of mid July. He tore this way earlier, and he came back that year, and he had soreness all year. And there were times where he didn't look anything like the player he did in early in his career, and he looked definitely nothing like the player was in 23. So But when I heard him talk, I don't know why, but I was like, okay, well, whatever we get out of Ronald Acuña Jr. this year is going to be a bonus. That's the way I took it as.
Wow.
I don't mean to be negative.
Wow.
But
that would hurt me.
If you go back to his 2022 year, he wasn't great. It was not. I say great, and I mean it. And it's kind of one of those things where you're like, well, it's relative because when you think of him, you think of 2021 before the injury. You think of 2023 as an entirety, and that's what his standard is, not what he was in 2022, and really what he was until he got injured last year. That said, that doesn't make me feel terrible because the Yerkson Profar thing is such a good addition that it should kind of make you feel like, okay, if our back end of our rotation can kind of hold their own or just kind of not be a disaster, I guess, and Yerkson Profar can give you what he did last year, I'm not overly worried about what Jared Kelnick will be in his hot streaks and cold streaks. I'm really more worried about, you know, letting Ronald get completely healthy and then whatever he can give us is going to be a bonus. And including the fact that just him being in the lineup changes how teams will approach your lineup and pitch to him, which helps everyone else.
I feel like, I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer for me because I'm really high on what I think Ronald Acuña can bring. And you kind of mentioned, you kind of dampen those expectations. I feel that way about Yerkson Profar. Yerkson Profar has been in Major League Baseball for what, 11 years? Last year was a career year for him. I think it was his first All-Star appearance. I mean, he played extremely well. But I don't know if I necessarily want to hinge the way I look at the Braves outfield on him getting back to that point once again and having another career year. I think it has to be a balance. And hopefully these guys, and Jason Hayward fits in that category too, where he's not been great at times, and other times he looks like an MVP candidate.
You so, Michael Harris?
Yeah, that's what
I'm not relying on Jason Hayward to do anything.
Well, yes, it talked about it yesterday, how, you know, I think a lot of people look at Michael Harris and hope he's not Jason Hayward. But to my point, I think that you have to lean on all three of those guys to pick each other up in certain moments. And look, De La Cruz fits that as well. And whoever else they want to put in a lot of these rotations, lean on each other. And hopefully one guy in that outfield doesn't have to carry the entire squad.
Well, if it does have to be Yerkson Profar, at least we know going into the season, he's found a new home.
He's been unbelievable, I think. I mean, he's fit right in from day one. He's just got a great attitude. I mean, he's always smiling. He's a great teammate. I think he's gonna be a really good add for us in our lineup. And when we get Ronald back, it's going to be really deep, and that lineup is. And he's been fun to be around. I mean, he loves to play. He loves to work. You know, I think he's one of those guys. He's not going to get tired. He's going to get sleepy, you know. And I think he expects to play every day. He's fit right in here.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah,
At least you have him while you don't have Acuña, but then think about the fact of having them together.
Well, yeah, and that means you don't have to rely on Kelnick, which is the biggest. And I'm not knocking Kelnick. I think he had great moments last year, but his consistency has been an issue from day one in the majors, especially with his team. Like, I need Yerkson Profar. I don't need him to hit homer. Yeah, he had 24 homers last year, but it's never really been his strong suit. I need him to get on base. And this guy, his last 5 years – has had right at a .350 on base percentage. That's to me his job. You get up there at the beginning of the line, set the pace at the top of the lineup with getting on base and then you want the guys behind him and whoever's hitting that two hole at the time, whether it's Ozzy or it's somebody else, and then Olson and then Riley and the Big Bear that's where your money is going to be made. And that's what his strong suit is. That's why I love Drake Baldwin so far. Everything here about Drake Baldwin had double the amount of walks than he did strikeouts in spring training. Mm. And that's where with Sean Murphy out too as well. So you have three starters essentially if you want to count Strider, which I do because he's in your starting rotation. that are not going to start this season, but should come back before the end of May.
Yeah.
And so you've got to tread water in a lot of ways. So you're going to need guys, you know, and I've talked about Profar, but the reality is Jared Kelnick's the one that needs to step up. And Jared Kelnick needs to show why you can't just bench me when Ronald comes back. Why maybe we need to platoon a little bit and I need to be in there a little bit with Profar. That's what Kelnick's fighting for, his job and his spot on the everyday roster, but not everyday roster, but everyday lineup, but really just as a rotational guy, not a straight up bench guy.
Yeah.
The first month of this season.
Yeah, I agree. He's got to step up to the plate.